All right, let's talk to Gary Marks. He's from also from the Chicago Tribune. It's like Tribune Day over here at the radio station. I don't know how that all happened. There is a story today that fits in perfectly with what we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the program. Kim Fox scheduled to join us after 5:30, and obviously there's a lot of this. You know, Jussie Smollett is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of things that we can talk about in criminal justice and things that have happened here. The streets have gotten more ticky-tack in terms of the crime. This is the livability of the city seems to be diminishing, and what can the state's attorney do about that? Because they're really at the front line, are they not, Gary?
They absolutely are. The state's attorney is a very, very powerful position, and the state's attorney really guides the criminal justice system in Chicago. So it's obviously the upcoming election is really, really important for the citizens of Chicago.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Bail reform has been part of this whole deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the grander umbrella of justice reform.
Yeah.
And that seems to be very bipartisan, right? When you have Democrats and the Trump administration getting together on something, it's a pretty rare moment. And that's what's happened. Everybody agrees that bail, specifically bail reform, you know, there's people that on low level kind of nonviolent offenses, and they get stuck in county jail because they can't even afford the $100 to get out. Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that everybody backs bail reform. I mean, the idea that, yes, that if you are a nonviolent offender, you've been accused of a crime, you haven't been convicted of a crime, you don't have a background for violence, that person should not be stuck in the Cook County Jail. I mean, that serves no purpose at all. And we also know that this is a generational thing. We know this goes back decades, and obviously it affects people of color the most and people who are disadvantaged. You don't have money. So it's been discriminatory. It's absolutely hurt the African American and Latino community. Bail reform is needed. That's not the question right here. The question is, how is it being executed?
So, Gary Marks, in your story today in the Chicago Tribune, you talk about this issue that the bail reform analysis that was done by the Chief Judge, Tim Evans, of Cook County Courts, is actually based on flawed data and undercounts.
Yeah.
And so what they're even giving us, and we have to rely on them, we in the public and we in the press have to rely on them to provide this information. They have proprietary data we don't have access to. Necessarily.
Yeah, and this is something that the Tribune has been after really since his report or his study was published. I mean, just for your listeners, bail reform went into effect in September 2017. In May of 2019, Chief Judge Timothy Evans, who's the head judge of all the Cook County courts, did a study that he published and talked about a lot, essentially saying that bail reform, which again has done good things, the jail population has been lowered significantly, basically said it had no impact on crime in the city. And he went before the city council in November and said, you know, there's been no horrendous incidences that have occurred since bail reform was put in effect in September 2017. I mean, we're reporters. What is our job? Our job is to hold the powerful accountable. So when this report was published, we began digging into the fact. We began to try to get the underlying data to this report. We know what the report says. We wanted the data underlying this report to do our analysis. And Judge Evans had a policy in place where he refused to give us the data.
What do you mean you want data?
Yeah, we want data.
Exactly. That was it. The report is right here.
Yeah.
Just take it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And again, I don't want to make fun of Judge Evans. He's a very. I mean, I respect him tremendously. He has a long career here in Chicago as a politician and as a judge. But we wanted the underlying data, and Judge Evans gave us data only on those people bonded out who eventually were convicted of their crimes. Anybody knows the criminal justice system knows it can take years for you actually to be convicted. So 3/4 of the data essentially was wiped out that he gave us. So it was of no use to us if we're trying to determine whether or not the study that he had produced that said that the bail reform, letting people out, more people out of the jail, and not incarcerating them in the first place or not holding them in the first place was not having an impact on crime. So we eventually, in December, decided that we had to go to the Illinois Supreme Court. So we filed a mandamus suit against the Cook County judge asking the Illinois Supreme Court to intervene because this data is public record.
Right.
You know, the reporters have access to it, right? We are supposed to have access to it. The public is supposed to have access to it. So finally, Judge Evans gave us the data, and then we, you know, we worked on it for several more weeks and published our report in today's Tribune.
And what, and basically you find that it's not working as well as they thought.
Yeah, and or again, our, you know, again, exactly, and it, I mean, it seemed like that the report literally, it really kind of minimized the negative impacts of bail reform. Again, we know the good impact of it, which is the jail population is decreased. Nobody disagrees that nonviolent detainees, they should not be held in a jail.
Okay, but I got to stop you right here for a second. Okay. Gary Marks from the Chicago Tribune, because I have this data here that it was from also from Cook County.
Yeah.
That shows that this is people who've been sent onto electronic monitoring, which is instead of bail, right?
You can't get bail and electronic monitoring.
Right.
You can get both.
So, but this is an allowance to, you know, be able to go home. And electronic monitoring in Cook County doesn't mean you have to sit in your house.
No.
If you have a job or you have school, you have other commitments.
You can get special permission, yes. Exactly, to go to work, to pick up your kids from school, et cetera.
And the majority of people on electronic monitoring get that permission. And also, this is another little known fact, that if you do skip on the electronic monitoring, it's very unlikely they're going to catch you.
Well, they'll catch you, but it may be too late.
Right.
You know, it could take days. I mean, the sheriff's office has, every day they have 2,200 people on electronic monitoring. They don't have the staff.
No.
They admit they don't have the staff. So you could go 3 or 4 days missing without the sheriff coming out to look
right.
for you.
Right. And then some people just get into the wind.
Yeah.
So the issue that I found in poring over these statistics is violent criminals and people who are felons who have guns, are pulled over, arrested, whatever it is, and they're a felon and they have a gun, which is illegal, or people who have, again, criminal sexual assault, they are far more likely to get electronic monitoring now than hundreds of percent more likely to get electronic monitoring now than they were 3 years ago when this thing went into place. And this is the thing that knocks my socks off. Marijuana criminals, you know, even though it's legal now, people who on marijuana charges are more likely to stay in jail than they were 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what you're specifically citing, but I do think that this idea that electronic monitoring is a safeguard, which is the way it essentially has been sold to the public. I mean, even Tim Evans now, after we presented our findings, said it no longer is a safeguard. So I think electronic monitoring has obviously, we know that since bail reform was put into effect, more dangerous people have been put on electronic monitoring. We also know that many of those people went out and then committed new crimes. The sheriff has been public about the fact that his people, he doesn't have the staff to monitor these people. And now Judge Evans is saying, he admits that electronic monitoring really is not secure for the public. So that's something that has to be looked at. And the judge has admitted that that has to be looked at now.
Attempted murder on the 13th of January in 2017. One person was put on electronic monitoring. 28 were put on 3 years later.
Okay.
That's a 2,700% increase.
Yes.
That's attempted murder.
Yes.
That's not, oh, I was selling a bag of weed to somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm a street vendor and I don't have my license.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand the system.
Yeah, and I think you're getting at a point which is really, okay, everybody agrees that if you're a nonviolent person who's been picked up, you could say for marijuana, which is no longer illegal, but, you know, you've got a nonviolent crime, you should not be held in the Cook County Jail. We also know that people who are charged with very violent crimes should be given no bond and should remain in the jail.
Yeah.
The question is, those people in the middle, what are happening to those people in the middle? And the fact is, there are more dangerous people now who are getting out and on bond and maybe electronic monitoring, and they're now back in the community. And that really is the issue. It's sort of that gray area in the middle. How are judges going to come down right now on those individuals? Should those individuals be held in the jail or should they not? That's the big question mark.
Gary Marks, thank you so much. You, David Jackson, Todd Leidy did this story in the Chicago Tribune today. People should go read it. We got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. Chicago.